He's tough. He's uncompromising. Plowing in with Terry Wallace
for the new Mexican chicken sub from Subway.
Always good to see Terry on a Thursday afternoon. How are you, sir?
Hello, Half. It's marching along, isn't it?
It is marching
Round
along.
Round seven. Gee, it goes quick.
It does. I was thinking that the other day. We're a quarter of the way through, effectively, the season. It doesn't seem like it's been going that long.
No, it doesn't.
So that's good news. It's nice when they sort of rushes through as opposed to drags out.
We have some things that we're going to talk about today. I haven't even spoken to you about this one. Is the new fixturing making it... Once upon a time, we used to get to round seven.
Yep.
And we'd sort of know... We used to think that we'd know how the thing was settling down, the ladder was settling down, and how teams were interacting. Now that we've sort of got this ability that top teams play top teams early, mid teams sort of play mids, and bottom teams play bottom.
Yep.
Do you think that means that we don't actually get a real line on it as early as what we once did?
I think that's a very good point. There's been a lot of positive talk about the contest so far and the competition so far because of the way the draw's been structured this year. I'm keen to see how the next sort of 8 weeks go.
Get ready for a couple of beltings.
When it's just sort of open season and the top play the bottom and all that sort of stuff. And it'll be very interesting to see what sort of feedback our listeners give to that part of the year, which is an important part of the year. Middle part of the year, as you would well know, Terry, as a player and a coach, more importantly, is really important to set your season up for the back end.
Absolutely. Well, I've heard other experts. I mean, I've spoken myself on this program, and we all, I think, have always sort of said, yeah, it sorts itself out by about round six, round seven. But we haven't had this fixturing the way. No. It's only been really two seasons, hasn't it, that this fixturing's been the way it is now?
Is it two? Yeah, maximum two.
Yeah. So
maximum.
So to me, it's a new ball game. It really is a new ball game. We've seen that in tipping and a lot of other things along the way. But I like it. I mean, I think it's
a great stuff.
I think it's really worked. I mean, to me, having it you virtually go to every game at the moment not knowing what to expect.
Yeah. Well, we saw that last week, didn't we?
Which is brilliant.
Yeah, which is
now,
nice.
Were you surprised by the announcement? We've known over probably the last 48 hours or so about Kane Corns, but were you surprised by the announcement?
Yes, the timing of the announcement, yeah, absolutely I was. And the fact that it's effectively immediately. Next weekend will be his last game, should he get through this weekend unscathed, of course.
So he put his application in, tell me if I'm correct, he put his application in about November
last
year?
That's my understanding, yes.
Would have that been after a discussion with the club about where he sat? Because you would have thought that your exit from the club for that season would have been done by that time. And you sit down with the senior coaches, you always do. I've obviously been through that process.
Yep.
Did he not like what he heard?
Well, it's not as if he's been shunned by Ken Hinkley, the coaching staff and the match committee of Port Adelaide this year. I'm just surprised that he seems to be going pretty well still.
Do you wonder whether...
Where does it leave Ken Hinckley and the list? I mean, you're down a really good player now.
Yeah. Well, okay, I'll go back a couple of weeks. I went over to Adelaide on the Saturday night when Port Adelaide played Hawthorn. Really looking forward to that game. I thought, you know, get a bit of a line. Last year's preliminary final, such a close match. Where do they sort of both sit at the moment? Tough to win away from home for the Hawks. All those sort of things were playing on my mind at the time. And I went across and I watched Kane Corns play on Sammy Mitchell, who I love and rate as a player.
Yep.
Kept him to four possessions at halftime.
It's a bloody good effort.
Not bad effort.
It's a bloody good effort.
Now, all of a sudden, the bloke who's kept Sam Mitchell to four possessions at halftime is not there any longer. So if you run up against Hawthorn in a final, the bloke that you know can do the job on Sam Mitchell is not there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... Well, who takes that role for them, just as we sort of flesh this out of touch?
Honestly,
is there a natural?
No. No, I don't think there's a natural. I mean, clearly they'll give the role to somebody, but I'm not sure. I don't think that they've got that type of play. If you think about what we know about Port Adelaide's midfield, it's more offensive, attacking, free-flowing. That's the way that I sort of see them. I don't see that real, you know, hard and fast lockdown player. But even last week, he took on Gaff last week, so he's still getting the big roles. I mean, Gaffy had been in the best three players on the ground the 2 weeks prior to that. So they're giving him all the big roles and then all of a sudden just gone.
So what are you, if you're Ken Hinckley, how do you assess this situation? What does it do for your state of mind?
Well, as I said, I thought one or two things had to have happened, in my opinion. I mean, it might be just I got this opportunity. I put in the put it in November. Didn't think, well, maybe I might know, I've got it, and it might have taken me a couple of years to get in, but all of a sudden the opportunity came. It might be as simple as that,
yeah.
And we might be reading too much into it, but it could also be a situation where it was, we'll get you to 300 games, but we can't guarantee you senior games of footy if you want to go on. You know, we'll make sure that the 300's there, but where it sort of sits from that point, we can't guarantee. He was very strong on the fact that he didn't think that he needed a rest after one round. I don't blame him, but
yes.
He didn't need a rest when they played North at Etihad Stadium. And I can remember being there that night. Was that round three or round?
That was North, Port Melbourne, round three. Yeah.
Round three. So they played two games, and all of a sudden, he needs a rest. I know for a fact that he wasn't very happy with that. And I was there that night, and he was running. Yeah, as players do, he was running the 200-metre laps. When the crowd left, everyone's out of the stadium. The boys are showering and warming down and got their ice on and doing all that. He was doing his 200s at 11 o'clock at night, which probably would have been burning him a little bit, you know, being close to a 300-game player. I'm not sure that he would have been
too appreciative of that,
particularly enjoying that. But that was the week prior to him then coming out and fighting back and taking on Sam Mitchell the next week. So I don't know whether that had some change of mindset. Clearly the situation with the fire brigade was November, so that was all underway. But it just seems to be a strange one for me.
It does seem odd that you apply in November. And I know that having dealt with a few players, even just from local footy level, that do want to be firers and have engaged in the process to be a firer through the journey, it can take a couple of years to get in. And there's not a lot of flexibility when you've told that you're in, you've got to be there at this time. They just hold it off for you for another month or 2 months so you can finish your footy season. You're out now. So maybe there's that at play. It's just got a call up quicker than expected. But it does seem very odd, this. And perhaps there's a bit more to the story. Perhaps he's told that this wasn't going to be a great back end of the year for you. You might want to get out now.
Good luck to him. Look, he's had a fantastic career.
What about this?
Remarkable player.
What about this? Just going on his resume. And as an SMS before, somebody said, thing is, Billy O says, the thing with Cornsey is he tags but gets plenty of touches himself while doing it. And most people would associate defensive play with Kane Corns, wouldn't they? From 2005 through to 2013, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 9 years running, at Port Adelaide, he led their disposal count.
Amazing.
9 years running, Terry, for a guy that effectively, for the majority of his career, from what
he's been able to take out other players as well.
Taking other people out of the contest. It's extraordinary effort. Four-time best and fairest. 9 years running.
Four-time best and fairest. I'd like to know how many times top three in the best and fairest as well, because he's been up there almost all that 9 years as well.
Yeah, extraordinary performance. Next week will be his last game.
He's a tough son of a gun. I mean,
literally son of a gun. Too.
And absolutely, there are players in the competition that have enormous self-belief and burning ambition in them, and you might say that all of them do, but some are stronger than others. And I've sort of seen it along the journey, both as a player playing alongside of blokes and a coach. Some guys, if they had a bad game on a particular week, like let's use Kane Corns as the example, misses out on that game against North Melbourne, burns all week, just can't wait to get back out there to be able to do something about it, takes on Sam Mitchell, stops Sam Mitchell, and stops him in his tracks, sets up the game for his side, because the game was won in that first half.
Absolutely.
Sam had a reasonable second half, but had a poor game by his standards, and that would have just burned with Cornsey all week. Now let's go to Sam Mitchell. Sam Mitchell plays the bad game against Port Adelaide, and it just burns in him all week. His last two games have been absolutely sensational. He's played terrific footy. Comes straight back and played against North Melbourne the next week and put him to the sword. Had a very strong game again last week. So there are some players just that do. They just have this self-confidence. There's other players that are the opposite. They play a bad game and they get shaky. My form's not that good. How am I travelling here? Where other players, you don't even need to speak to them the next week. You know, they just got this mindset that they'll get it right. Yeah. They'll absolutely get it right. I played alongside of Jason Dunstall. And didn't matter whether if Jason kicked two in a game of footy, which didn't happen very often, but if he kicked two in a game of football, you just have a giggle about who he was going to play on the next week. You just go, oh, I hate to be that fullback the next week, because you knew he was going to come out and kick 7, 8, or 9.
And Crawford was the same from my era. That if he played a bad one, which is very rare, he's one of the most consistent players I can remember, he would just dominate the next week because it would just eat him.
Yeah, Wayne Campbell, as when I was coaching, Wayne Campbell was exactly that. Scott West, when I was at the Bulldogs, didn't play many bad ones, but gee, look out if he did play a bad one. Savage on himself. Yeah, and those blokes, from a coaching point of view, leave him alone. You go past them once and sort of say, that wasn't really where it needed. That's all you needed to do. You didn't need to hound them or do anything about it, because you knew that they were just burning inside themselves and they were going to hound themselves.
And they did.
Love those sort of guys, and I really believe that Kane Corns is one of those type of players.
298 games in. He'll play 299 this week and hopefully for his sake 300 next week. And then it's all over for the Port Adelaide champ. Being told, 8 of 9 last... 8 of 9 best of Ferris's. 8 of the last 9, he's been top 3.
Not a bad run.
That's very nice.
That's not a bad run.
It's a fairly consistent performance.
Yeah, very, very good.
Is that from Kane Corns? Where are we today, though, Terry?
We're all Australians today.
First quarter, all Australian. Nice. Yeah,
3 categories. We're going to do it after round 6, after round 12, and after round 18.
Yep.
3 categories that you can get involved in. Who should be, as we stand, in the All-Australian team, right as we stand, in the team. Right, in the starting 18.
Yep.
Who should be, look, we're picking a squad of 40. This bloke should be in the squad of 40 for what he's done at the moment. Or who do you want to just give a little bit of love to? Not quite sure whether he's quite ready for the top 40, but, geez, doing a great job. And I would like to throw him in there for some consideration or some love.
Get him built up so he can achieve in the last 17 rounds of the year. 9-4-2-9-11-16. Who is in the round 6 quarter All-Australian team squad or just on the cusp that you think should get a bit of love, a bit of a positive feedback here on Halftime this afternoon? Terry Wallace with us on a Thursday afternoon, ploughing into the AFL, and we're just having a bit of an assessment of the players so far after round 6, looking towards the sort of All-Australian squad. Now, we know that's announced at the back end of the year, late in the season, but who are the ones, if it was going to be around about now, that would get into the team, sort of sit in the squad, the 40, or just on the cusp, debated in match committee, but not quite ready yet, but we'll give them some love because they're going well, Terry.
Well, why I like doing it this way, because otherwise you get to the end of the year and you only remember the last 6 games.
Yes, correct.
So what I've always liked to do is sort of have our little match committee meetings spaced along the journey. So after round 6, round 12, round 18, we'll just do it on a 6-weekly basis.
Yep.
See how it changes along the way.
Well, the lines are open. 9-4-2-9-11-16. I haven't given away anything today, so I'm going to do that.
Here's your chance, huh?
Here's your chance. Here's my chance to give you something, Andrew and Reservoir. G'day, Andrew.
G'day, Daniel. G'day, Terry. This player is playing in a side that at best stinks.
At best stinks.
Well, can I say it sounds like it's either Carlton or the Gold Coast.
It is Carlton for sure.
Well, there you go.
And the young man, Doherty, everyone should be made to look at his endeavour at that club and emulate it if they possibly can.
Yeah, look, I like the call. I think I would have thought Doherty, Tui and Bell.
They're your three.
They're the three boys that have sort of stood up so far. Half, I'm thinking that it's a bit of love for Sam.
Yep.
I'm not quite sure that there's a Carlton player that's locked into our top 40 squad at the moment.
I just can't get him in. I can't get him
not
in.
Not at the moment.
I mean, he's in the love category, I think.
We're happy with that.
Yeah, happy with that. Put him in the love category, Terry. Andrew, stay on the line. $50 voucher for you to the Savoy Tavern, 677 Burke Street in Melbourne. Meet you there before the footy at Etihad.
He's a good pickup.
Doherty?
Yeah. Oh, good pickup. Bad loss for Brisbane.
Where would they be without him? Just at the minute, the Blues, the poor old Blues. He's been very good. And I agree with you about Tui and Bell as well. They're the ones that are sort of keeping it all together, if they can, at the minute. Bill's in Bulleen. G'day, Bill.
How are you, boys? I've got a couple of shin boners, I reckon. I've got two of them. Right, eh? Brett Harvey's playing great, and Goldie's absolutely been outstanding. You know.
Would you have both in the team, one in the squad?
Both in the team. Way Harvey's going, he's... I think he's averaged 27 possessions in his last four or five games.
He's amazing. He's amazing, Billy, isn't he?
Yeah, and so has Goldie been fantastic again. He's been like this for years, you know, like the last 3 or 4 years. And he's still dominating. He's just a freak too.
Well, he's the number one. Brent Harvey's the number one midfielder forward ranked on the AFL player rankings on the website. And Todd Goldstein's the number one ruckman. So pretty good nominations there, I reckon, from our man Bill.
No doubt whatsoever. He knows his boys very well. I think Goldie's the best ruckman in the competition right as we stand.
Yep. Hard to argue with that. Billy, stay on the line, mate. $50 Dimatina restaurant voucher coming your way. And two Bataki Australian League hams. How about that? It's just a festival of food there for you, Bill. Let's get to Scotty and Derrimut. G'day, Scotty.
G'day, boys. How are we?
Good.
That's good. I'd like to nominate someone who stood up really well through injury for us this year. You know, Jeremy McGovern.
Mitz.
Yeah, he's been very good, hasn't he? Very, very good. It certainly would be right up there in calculations. He was Kingy's big speculative selection for All Australian at the start of the year, wasn't he?
He was, and he'd be very happy with his
That's
selection.
That's a good get.
Yeah, considering it was only, as Kingy would say, a small sample size of what he was doing last year in that area of the ground, having to go back through necessity as opposed to choice, I think, from Adam Simpson's point of view, and to deliver what he has done so far, it's been a huge win for the West Coast.
Absolutely. No, he's done a great job for them.
As Scott East down the line, it's a prize extravaganza here on Halftime at the moment. The champion collector cards, the Bataki hams, the rounds of golf at Coosbrough, and the Commerce Lounge gold pass is coming your way. Adrian is in Lara. G'day, Adrian.
Hi, guys. How are you going?
Good, buddy.
That's good. Where's the Hawthorn supporter? My Monty's sort of Jordan Lewis. But as an outsider, I reckon Isaac Smith, he's playing some of his best footy, even though Hawthorn ain't going too well. But yeah, I reckon Isaac, I reckon he'd be a huge chance.
Absolutely. Really pleased that you brought him up, Adrian. I had him in my list absolutely 100%. I just think that I think it's the best football he's played at the club over like a 6 week block.
Yep.
I would have thought, look, he's played some brilliant games in the past, obviously stood up in finals, done those sort of things. But if he actually went a six-week block of his career at any stage, I think this has been his best six-week block that he's actually had, even though the side hasn't quite done as well. Thought he was a guy who nearly got them over the line back there in that game that we were speaking about when they played Port Adelaide. Yeah. It was his run and carry that got him in over the last 2 weeks. I do a team of the week each week, and he's been right around the cusp of that in 1 week,
every
just
week.
Out the next week. He's had a really good run.
He's been the Cane Corns of the first 6 weeks, has he? Really consistent at top level.
Very even.
Nice work.
Even.
The Elmore Oil Pack's coming your way, Adrian. That's who that was. Thank you, Adrian, for your call. Stay on the line. We'll get your details. We'll get to a break. 28-4. There's plenty more nominations coming through. A couple of lines still open too, so don't be afraid to give us a call. 9429-1116. Heaps of nominations, as you would imagine, off the SMS as well, Terry. So there's plenty of info for us to put in our team, in our squad, and just a little bit of love. Put them in the love category for a couple of guys as well.
I've got 46 in my squad.
You can't have that. You've only got 40, mate.
Well, at the moment,
I'm going to have to get you to chop six.
I'm whittling them down as we speak.
Ebert is the one that's jumped up. He's jumped up from an average of 94 last year to 110, which puts him in the top 20 in the comp. And it's not through anything but just sheer hard work. He doesn't do anything spectacular. He's not a great ball winner. He's not a heavy, uncontested possession player. He's not an intercept player. It's just sheer hard work. So he's 110, is on the back of some solid performances.
That was David King's assessment of Brad Ebert from Port Adelaide.
Well, I asked the boys to out the back to grab that out because I was having a listen to the top 20 players in the competition at the moment, and obviously most of those boys would be right up there. The other thing with Ebert is never gets tagged. It's either grey or Boak through the middle of the ground. So he's the one that always seems to get out of the loop. It makes a big difference at football.
Been third banana.
It makes a big difference at footy clubs. I can remember in my late years when I was playing, and we had Terry Wheeler as a coach, and a couple of times he had been really hard on Tony McGuinness, and was pretty glowing about myself and Brian Royal in the middle of the ground. I went up to him one day and sort of said, just ease up on Macca a little bit, because the fact that Macca is getting tagged every week,
he's copping all the heat, so
is allowing us to get off the chain to do what we're actually being able to do. So it is a combination. And I've seen that combination working up in with the Giants. Ryan Griffin has been the one getting tagged all of a sudden you see Dylan Shields go to another level. Treloar gets off the hook. Callan Ward's probably playing as good a footy as what he's played because that pressure used to go to him. So, yeah, you can actually see a guy who's just down on his form, but have a look around at what the other guys are doing, and Ebert's one of those.
Well, that was King of this afternoon from Pure Footy. You can check it out at sen.com.au should you have missed it. Michael's in Elwood talking about All-Australian team squad on the cusp. Show a bit of love just a minute. Three categories of players after the first six rounds. We'll do this throughout the AFL season. Michael, good afternoon.
How are you, boys?
Good.
That's the way. Yeah, just over the west there, boys. We often talk about five, but I reckon Mundy at the moment, he's definitely in the top five over there at the moment.
He's top playing, five in the country.
Yeah, playing brilliant footy, absolutely brilliant footy. And it is, again, because so much attention now is going to Fife. All of a sudden, it is guys like Mundy, Lachie Neale is the one who's really getting out of the loop a little bit. But Mundy, at any other footy club, I think it would be getting a lot more attention. But Fife is almost getting all the attention because his form's just been so good.
Mm. No doubt about that. David Mundy is one of the key players in the competition, not just at Fremantle or in the West, in the competition. Mike, starting the line, the Savoy Tavern voucher coming your way, Burke Street in Melbourne there. Meet you there before the footy at Etihad. Daniel's in Keysborough. Hello, Daniel.
G'day, boys. Two for you. You're talking about, teams like Freo, they got the three guns, and teams like GWS thriving as well. But one player that gets tagged week in, week out, and he's still, even with a broken hand on the weekend, was Joel Sowage, absolute jet. And the one that comes in consideration is Blitzars.
Yeah, I had him in my consideration a lot of my 40. Well, my 46, which I've got to sort of get marked down a little bit. He would be one that I'd be certainly talking about and just sort of saying it's a watch this space. So he wouldn't be in my 40 at the moment, but gee, with the form over the last two or three weeks, it's been enormous. I thought his job on Pendlebury was brilliant last Friday night. Then he went freelancing and played more of a ruck role in the second half. But the game was done.
Over.
It was over by that stage. And how many kicks did Pendlebury have in the first quarter?
Bar one, maybe.
One kick in the first quarter. Yeah, he got a few feeds with hands, but nowhere near as damaging as what he normally is. Blitzav's ended up with 15 contested possessions along his way to his 28 possessions as well, so it was a nice, balanced game. He offers up something that a lot of clubs just can't deal with or can't handle at the moment.
Well, there's an article today, I can't remember which paper, it might have been The Age, talking about the Rewalt to the wing situation. There's not too many teams that have someone to combat that. Geelong do, with a player of the versatility of Blitzer.
Absolutely. And when you do that, do you take one of your players out of your defensive end that you think sort of matches him, but then you weaken your own defence because he's up on the wing? So it can change things up. But I think Blitzer's is definitely a watch this space.
Daniel, I like his work, and he's certainly in the category, I reckon. Two hams coming your way from Pataki, the Comics Lounge Gold Passes, the Select Collector Cards, the 2015 edition, and because it's close to home, you get the round of golf at Keysborough, a couple of rounds of golf at Keysborough, which is perfect for me to give away. That's good stuff. Greg's in stall. G'day, Greg.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Good.
Good. Jack Frost, I reckon, the way he's going this year, I'm sure he got beaten by Hawkins last week, but he'd have to be close to as a rookie, to close to knocking on the door.
Greg, I agree. I still don't understand why he's a rookie. You know, that's a different question. The only player at Collingwood to play every single game last year. Still on the rookie list. I don't understand that, but that's...
They're getting value for money, Terry.
Absolutely,
that's
they are.
That's what they're doing.
Story for another day. If you're a Geelong supporter, you probably don't think Jack Frost is up for All-Australian after he got monstered a little bit last Friday night, but his form... In five rounds have been really outstanding.
There's a few key defenders that are putting their hands up to be a part of this squad, Terry.
Absolutely. We just heard McGovern before, and now Frost coming up. There's one that I'm hoping somebody will bring up that the boys brought up that was in the top 20 category statistically. I think that he should be getting pushed up very much so, but we'll wait and see.
Well, I've got a feeling Margaret in Melton might just have that man in mind. Hello, Margaret.
Hey, how you going, guys?
Good, thanks.
That's good. This is first time caller. I'm home from week six, so I thought, right, I have to ring and nominate Tom McDonald. He has been doing an outstanding job for the entire six games. So he's just one that I would say if we stop now, he would be well and truly winning Melbourne's best and fairest, and probably polling very, very high in the Brownlow. So he's been Melbourne's consistent, and he gets the you know, the top full forward all the time, and he's just been one dominant player for the Melbourne Footy Club.
You're a star, Margaret. Absolutely, lock him in. He's got to be part of our three key defenders, starting defenders,
yep,
as we stand at the moment. I don't have any doubt whatsoever. You have others that might be able to come up and sort of go for one of the two spots, but I'm locking him into one of a starting 18 position as we stand at the moment.
Are you surprised at his development this season?
Well, he was in that, I suppose, the mode of really coming forward 2 years ago, then had a few interruptions and a few things just didn't quite go right last year. So I'm surprised for the fact that he wasn't in anywhere near this form last season, but had showed form previously.
Because the game against Revolt at the MCG, really play well. It might have been that 2 years
ago. A couple
of
years ago, I think. Yeah.
And I first noticed him and thought, gee whiz, there's something here. And then you're right, there was a bit of a flat patch last year, but geez, we're out of the blocks early.
Him and Blitzarves, the two things that both of those boys have done, improve their decision-making. Yeah, sometimes we sort of say, ball use,
yep,
but a lot of times that's just decision-making, you know, being able to think your way through heavy traffic and just work out what you need to be doing and not panic in those sort of circumstances. So I think both of those boys have really improved that area of the game.
Margaret, there's only one way to fix the dreaded lurgy. It's with a couple of bottles of Plonk. Two bottles, then, in fact. One red, one white. Thanks to AR Property Investments coming your way. We solve the property investment puzzle for you. Stay on the line or give us a call back, whatever applies. We'll get to a break at 13 to 4. A few more calls coming up after that. We're talking Terry's round 6 selection. We're at the match committee selection table for the All-Australian team. We're going to do it piece by piece through the year, 6, 12, 18, and at the end of the year, of course. And we want your suggestions, 9429 1116. Terry Wallace is with us on halftime. Marco and the Ox not too far away. Ken Mooney will join them. And, of course, Robbo on selection day in the AFL. Off the SMS, Beachy from Bullingarook. I don't know where Bullingarook is, but it's an awesome name. Goldie, the best ruckman in the competition, player. Don't rate Mummy. He's a monster.
I love Mummy. And Mummy, over the last 2 weeks, I would think has been the best player. As I said, I do a team of the week each week.
Yep.
Up to this stage, Grundy, two times has been my ruckman the team of the week. Goldie's been twice my ruckman the team of the week. Mummy and Sandilands have both been one each.
Yep, okay.
So that's where it sort of sits. But a couple of times Mummy's been close, a couple of times Goldie's been close. I think they're the best two ruckmen as we stand in it at the moment. And so I think probably the best player this year to me has been Goldstein out of the two of them.
Yep.
If you're wanting a ruckman to fight for your life, I'd probably go Mummy.
All right, there you go. A bit of feedback off the SMS. Some great nominations coming through for Terry's Round 6 group for All Australian as well at this stage of the year. James in Little River wants to get involved. G'day, James.
G'day, Half. G'day, Terry. How you going?
Hey, James.
So I've just got two nominations. Bulldog players.
Far away.
One is Liam Picken and the other is Easton Wood. Both been around the club for a while but really stepped up this year. Obviously, Picken through the midfield has started to accumulate more ball, and I think Easton Wood has really been a rock down in defence for us, especially against St Kilda too, where he probably almost saved the game for us when we were really struggling to hold up their surge.
James, I got hammered this week on social media for leaving Easton Wood out of my team of the week.
Oh, did you?
Probably should have been in there, but losing team, it just gets hard to sort of squeeze them all in. So, did get hammered about him. I thought it was nearly his best game that he's played with the footy club. He's had a very good year. I agree with that, as has Liam Picken, who really does deserve some love.
Yep.
I would have Luke Dalhouse right up there as well. Geez, he's just getting under the guard of teams. You know, high possession levels. He's always been an in and under worker. He can kick a goal. I'd have him up there as well.
Can I put Jack Stringer in there and Rob Murphy as well? Have we discussed them yet?
I would have thought, yeah.
Rob Murphy's captain.
We haven't spoken about either of those. So Bont is in the top.
Oh, the Bont. He's in the Bont.
He's in the top 20 at the moment, statistically. You've obviously got Stringer who's blitzing, and Murph off halfback. Got to be a chance, all of them.
James, stay on the line. Vouchers to New York Minute, to Mooney Ponds and Williamstown. You will love them. Voted top 10 burger in Victoria by the Herald Sun in 2014. Johnny's in Reservoir. Hello, Johnny.
There you go, fellas. How are you?
Good, pal.
That's the way. I'd like to stress strong bias here. I will admit that.
That's okay.
And realistically, probably a fringe at best for the All-Australian. But big Benny Brown from the Kangaroos, mate. For my mind,
for all the talk that goes on about these big guys, bigger bodies taking longer to come on, I reckon he's been absolutely fantastic. He's always leading at the ball, always looks dangerous when he's leading for the ball. Great set of hands, nice kicking action. I think he's already pegged up 12 goals, I think it is, for the season so far. So for a guy of his age, with his maturity, he's doing better than some of the well-seasoned forwards. And for his consistency, I reckon he's been brilliant.
One of my favourites, Benny.
I'm happy to give him a lot of love.
He's not there yet.
Yeah, he can't get into the side.
Yet, but he's in the love category.
Happy to give him a lot of love. A guy who's, I think, too, what he does is he engages his teammates and he engages the crowd, the North Melbourne fans as well. So, no, excellent start to his career.
He's a ball of boundless energy is what he is, Big Ben Brown. I like his work. I love watching him play. Good nomination.
Happy to give him a lot of love.
Yeah, love category.
Another one of the power forwards. How's Pav going?
Pav's going very well, thanks.
I mean, people were sort of saying that Fremantle couldn't win this year because Pav's just about finished and McFarlane's just about finished. Going okay for in my eyes.
Going very well, thank you. Yes. Thank
He'd be all Australia, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Squad.
Squad, top 40. Armitage's got to be there. Eddie Betts has got to be there.
Has to be.
There's a few other names there. Shane Edwards for Richmond.
Has to be considered for the squad.
Yeah, he's in my squad at the minute. Starting the line, whoever that was, Johnny, it was. The Champions Collector cards coming your way, the Pataki Hams, the Rounds of Golf at Keysborough, and the Commerce Lands Gold Pass.
I want Mitch Duncan in my squad.
Oh, yes, I missed him when we're talking
Mitchie
about
Duncan.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Mitch Duncan, welcome to the squad.